The world is going to try and school you. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, the world is going to try and put you through the school of hard knocks. Anybody been through that school other than Pastor Dan? Right? You seem to be getting ahead. You seem to be doing something good. And the world's coming by. The devil's walking around, prowling around like a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. Going to try and knock you from pillar to post, as the old saying goes. And we don't know what that means. But basically, it means he's going to try and kick your butt. Plain and simple. Going to try and beat you up, intimidate you, put you in fear, doubt, and unbelief. And in the end of the world's tests, the result is that you fail. That's just how the system is set up, because it's demonic, it's satanic, it's worldly, and it is not in your favor. But the good news is that God is also trying to teach us something. God wants to put us in his schooling. God wants us to train us up, to encourage us, to teach us his ways, so that when the real test comes in eternity, that we pass. Anybody other than me want to pass? See, I don't want to live a life that I got schooled on earth and get to heaven and realize that I could have had something greater in my lifetime. I want to be the kind of guy that when I get to heaven, I am absolutely spent. The last bit of gas was poured out and burned up. The last bit of kindling in the fire is finally gone. And when I give up the ghost, I go to heaven and I say, God, I spent it all. Every last bit of the grace of God that you gave me, God, I used it for your glory. And now here I am. Let the real test come. And the Bible says that God's going to hit our life with the fire of heaven. And whatever is lasting, whatever is eternal, will remain. And God teaches us, and I've taught you guys how to build your lives with the things of God, how to build your lives around eternity. But I want to take you to a section of Scripture tonight. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, very familiar verses, and I believe even we heard them from one of our guest speakers this weekend at the men's conference. But I want to just pull some things out of this section of Scripture, because there's some great things happening at the Rock Church. There's some great things happening at Shift. There's some great things happening in your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say, there's great things happening in my life. See, some of you would say, well, Pastor Dan, I'm only saying that because you told me to repeat that, because really, I don't feel like there's great things happening in my life. Really, I feel like the bottom of the barrel right now. I feel like somebody went in and scraped out of the gutter and pulled it out, and that's where my life has been. And yet, God looks at your life and says, it doesn't matter what you're going through right now. It doesn't matter what circumstances you find yourself in, because I have a plan, I have a future, I have a destiny, I have a hope that awaits you. I've got greater things that I've called you to. Everything is looking up. Stop looking down, child. See, there were men and women in the Bible that could have been looking down. Here's Joseph, sold out by his brothers because he was the favorite of his father. Beat up, thrown in a pit, sold to foreigners. Come on, somebody. Anybody been sold as a slave in this room? I didn't think so. Here he is, finds himself in slavery and becomes the head of a house. Things are looking up. All right, here we go. And all of a sudden, the wife of his master starts lying on him and gets him landed in jail. Not just any jail, an Egyptian jail back in the day. Okay, it wasn't like jail these days. They didn't have some sneakers on your feet and an orange jumpsuit for you to get into. Three meals a day and a bed at night. Hello. Here he is in a Egyptian jail. Sent there by his master because his master thought he was messing around with his wife. Don't tell me he got the best cell at the prison. And yet, Joseph, because of his hope in God and his trust in God, continues to move forward with life. Where we would have laid down and said, God, I'm not doing anything else. I am done. Joseph continues to live his life out, and he finds himself going from slavery to prisoner to the leader of the prison. Now all of a sudden they're entrusting to Joseph the prisoners, everything that's going on, all the operations. Joseph is over that. And he takes himself, in a matter of one day, God takes him from the prison to the palace. From being a leader over just a little prison, now to the leader of the entire nation that ruled the known world at the time. The military giant of that age, Joseph had all the affairs under his control because he operated in the wisdom of God and because he persevered in a time because he had been schooled in the ways of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, are you there? Starting in verse 1, it says, "You therefore, my son." Now, let's stop right there, because Paul is writing to Timothy, but really, God preserved this scripture, this word of the Lord, not just for Timothy. Otherwise, we could have crinkled it up and thrown it away after Timothy was done reading it. And yet, for thousands of years, God has preserved this word for you and for me. So when Paul is writing to Timothy, really you can take it as the Holy Spirit is speaking something to us. So think about it this way. You, therefore, my son or daughter, insert your name here. Look at what he says. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, he tells us to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. That means that we could be weak in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. That means that we could live these weak lives where we don't have that much power, where we don't have that much control, where we don't have that much authority, and we could just get knocked around by the devil. We can get schooled by the world. And yet, here the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. He says, I want you to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He says, I want you to rise up, child. I want you to take note of what I'm telling you to do. I want you to be strong. I want you to take the authority that I've given you. Take the power of the Holy Spirit that's within you. And I want you to be strong in an age that's trying to make you weak. And then look at verse 2. He says, and the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I like what the Amplified says. It says, transmit and entrust as a deposit. Transmit and entrust as a deposit. Instead of just committing these things to faithful men who will be able to teach, it says transmit and entrust as a deposit. I got rocked just this past week when I was thinking about the word faithfulness. And one of our speakers was talking about being faithful and what that meant to God. And he was talking about how the stewards, the ones who were over the affairs of the master, were given talents, and that they were supposed to go out and do business. And the ones that were called faithful, quote unquote, were the ones that went out, did business, and produced more. See, I had this definition of faithful up there on that word. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. See, I had this definition of faithful that stopped at reliability. It stopped at just showing up. That was enough. Listen, you want to know the way I got through high school and college? The way I got through high school and college was I showed up. Seriously. There were some classes that I could not stand, some classes that I did not understand, some things that I didn't know how I was going to make it, but I showed up. And the very fact that I showed up meant that I got a C in that class because, hey, the teacher said this is a faithful person, they're reliable, they're here, they must know what's going on, and therefore they passed me in those areas. However, God's definition of faithfulness is not just showing up. It's not just being reliable, even though that's a part of it. God's definition of faithfulness, yes, is showing up, but also is being productive, reproducing something, being somebody who brings increase. Notice what it says, entrust, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That means that the ones that you're entrusting, the ones that you're putting a deposit in, that you're entrusting them not just to hold on to that deposit and show up with it, but rather to reproduce it in someone else. You guys getting this? So the things that you're learning in church aren't just for you, even though they are for you. If you're a faithful Christian, which, how many of you want to be a faithful Christian? Hopefully everybody that's a Christian in this room said, yeah, that's me. That means that God is now entrusting you and schooling you not just to be somebody who just shows up to church and does nothing with their life. God is entrusting you and I to be the faithful Christian that takes that deposit and does business till he comes. And when we get to heaven, yeah, we spent all the grace, but look at the increase that we brought the master. Hello. Look at what we did. Look at how we increased. Look at what we brought. So tonight I'm going to talk to you about God's school for life. There's two things in verse number one that I want to take a look at, because he says, entrust these to faithful men. I believe that the young adults of the Rock Church or World Outreach Center is a faithful group of people. And that when you guys hear the word of God, you're not just going to keep it here. You're not just going to hide it in the ground. You're not just going to do nothing with it, but rather that you are going to be able to teach others also. The fact that you've been to school and you know what's going on means that you're going to take other people and you're going to teach them the same ways. You're going to say, listen, I hear what you're going through. Listen, I know what you're going through. I've been through it myself, but let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about my God. Let's open up the word together. Let's find out what God has to say about this. Because Paul told Timothy, but really the Holy Spirit's telling me and telling you, entrust these things. Put, transmit, and entrust as a deposit these things to faithful people. Tonight, this is what you're being entrusted with as the young adults. Number one, God's school for life is to be strong in grace. Be strong in grace. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Turn there with me quickly. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, there's a lot of Christians out there that are trying to do life in the power of their own might. For years, I was trying to get my will, my way, and attach God's name to it. Seriously. Why? Because I like doing things. There are certain things that I just go to. You know, I was up here with the praise and worship team. And honestly, I felt very comfortable being with the praise and worship team. For years, I led praise and worship teams. Used to be back at the old building before The Rock moved over here. It was Dan the Man and The Rock Youth Band. And I was very happy in that position. See, some of you guys don't know all that, but some of y'all been around for a minute and you know what's up. And so it was Dan the Man and the Rock Youth Band. I was on guitar, man. I was singing. I was having a good time. I was very comfortable behind the guitar. But when I didn't have the guitar and I was standing there praising the Lord in a worship service, I was kind of like, ah, there it is. All right. Okay, now I'm worshiping the Lord, you know. Or I'd be sitting there like strumming on my leg, you know, like I need to be playing a chord right here or something like that, you know? And I was uncomfortable when those times came. Why? Because I was trying to attach my will, my way, and attach God's name to it. I had these dreams. I was going to be a rock star. I was going to travel the world. I was going to, you know, have records and albums and all that kind of stuff. And yet God had a different plan. See, I thought, oh, it'd be cool someday down the road to go to Bible college. It'd be cool someday down the road to be a pastor. But when I'm a pastor, I'll be able to lean back on this thing and say, hey, remember my band? Remember all the songs that we wrote? Remember all that stuff? Well, you should learn about Jesus because of that. See, God's not interested in any of that. God's looking at that going, who cares? Nobody knows. I mean, hello. How many of you remember Jeff Moore in the distance? Anybody? One person in the back. All right. See? Major recording artist. Where is his influence for Jesus? It's not in the things that we have done and we've attached God's name to. Now, Jeff Moore is a great man of God. I'm not saying that he isn't. I'm just saying that he was really big back in the day. And if I would have gotten big and then tried to, you know, lead people because of that, no one's going to know. No one cares. But what matters is that we're strong in the Lord and in the power of his mind. See, there was a transition that happened in my life. I went to school. Not just Bible school, but God's school. God started teaching me and showing me how to follow him, how to listen for his voice, how to hold on to the things that he had called me to do. I went on a mission trip one time. I think I was, at the time I was about, I want to say 17 years old. And I had gone on a previous mission trip, and they were looking at the people that were going on these trips, and they were looking at leaders and stuff like that. And they had seen something in me, and they said, Daniel, we want you to come and be a part of what we're calling the dream team. Okay? And this is an invitation-only thing. We want to interview you, all this and that, and we want to find out. We want you to pray about it. So I went, and I had this interview, and I applied for it. And they said, you're accepted. We want you to be on the dream team. Now you got to raise $5,500. And I took a big, deep breath in. That was a lot of money. Still is a lot of money. I was looking at raising this in a matter of several months. I had about 9 months that I was going to be raising this money. So I called up everybody I knew, and I called up everybody I didn't know. Okay? I called all sorts of people. I was asking people for money. I was knocking on doors. I was sending letters. I was doing everything that I could do. And the week before I was supposed to get on the bus and leave for Illinois to go and be a part of this training camp and then go overseas, the week before I had about $800 or $900 in my account. Now, I want you to notice, that's not $5,500. Okay? So I had to come to a point in my life, and one of the leaders actually was one of the former youth pastors at my old church, and so he was going on the trip too, and he was telling me, hey, you know what? You don't have to go on the dream team. You can be a part of my team. And it doesn't cost $5,500. It costs about $1,800. You got about half right now during the training camp. You can call and you can raise the rest of the support real easy. It'd be great to have you on the team. All right, let's go. And I said, whoa, wait a second. God called me to go on the dream team. And I said, you know, if I go with you, yeah, it'd be easier, but God hasn't called me to the easy one. God called me to this one, $5,500. He said, okay. So we get down to it, right? And we're starting to make the phone calls. Here I am calling everybody that I know again and everybody that I don't know again, making these phone calls, man. And it's like pulling teeth. If you've ever raised support, financial support, it is so hard to do. You know, I cringe every time, you know, that I would have to make a phone call. You know, you have that lead phone syndrome. You know, you're like trying to lift the phone, but it just won't come up off the receiver. And you're like, hello, this is Dan, and I'm going on a mission trip. And I don't know if you got my letter in the mail, but I'm looking for support. Oh, your kid has to go to college? Okay, well, thank you, you know, bam, rejection again. And then you go to call the next person on the list, and it's like the phone got heavier, you know, and it's just like, how am I going to do this? So here I am making these phone calls, going through the training camp, building relationships with people, and I'm thinking the whole time in the back of my mind, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. And I came to a point where the leader of the other team was coming to me, and he says, you got to make a decision. You got to figure out what you're going to do. And I said, okay, well, let me find out how much finances I had. I had $1,800. He says, there it is. It's the will of God for you to go on my trip. My trip's only $1,800. And I started thinking, well, maybe it is. Maybe it is. That's too weird. I have exactly $1,800 to go on his trip, and I didn't raise the $5,500. Maybe I'll just transfer over. And I prayed and I said, God, what's up with this? What's going on? I thought you called me to this trip. And God said, are you doing this in your own strength or are you doing it in my strength? Either I called you to do it and where I guide, I will provide. If I ordered it, I'll pick up the tab. So you either trust me or you don't, son. Which one's it going to be, your strength or my strength? In your strength, you got $1,800, but let's see what happens in my strength. I went back to the guy. I said, okay, it is the will of God that I go on the dream team. It is the will of God that I get the $5,500. I don't know where it's coming from, but it's coming in Jesus' name. And he said, all right. He said, I'll be seeing you on my trip the day we leave. But that was basically his attitude towards me. I said, all right, whatever. So we went our way. The day before we're about to leave and get on a plane and fly overseas, they pull me into the office. And they have these very serious looks on their faces. I'm walking in there, my heart's just, and they said, we wanted to talk to you about your finances. I said, yes, I know. I raised $1,800. And they said, yeah, and you did a good job at raising that $1,800. Just wasn't enough, son. I said, I know, I'm going to go ahead and go on the dream team. You're going to go on the dream team. Because there were some other people that had so much in their accounts that what we did is we leveled it off across all the team, because you're not the only one on the team that didn't have enough money. There were some other people, and we've got more than enough for every single person on the team to get to go on this trip. You're going. Now I'm like, you know, running back to say, yeah, praise the Lord. See, but it's not about my strength. It's not about my power. And listen, it's not even just about me. God wasn't concerned about just my bill. He was concerned about that entire team. Everybody benefited. Everybody got to go. Not just me. Everyone got to go. That's the power of grace in our lives. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is about being strong in the grace of God. It's not enough to say be strong in grace without telling you how to get grace. Okay? So the second thing, God's school for life is to stick with Jesus. Stick with Jesus. One of the greatest things I've ever heard our pastor, Pastor Jim, tell someone, we were in a meeting one time and somebody had messed up. They messed up royally. This wasn't a little mess up. This was a big mess up, right? And here comes Pastor Jim, and I'm thinking, man, this guy's got it, man. Now here's the senior pastor, and this guy's just going to get it. And he looked at him, he said, so you messed up, huh? The guy said, yes, Pastor, I messed up. I did. And he says, well, I want to let you know something, son. You don't fail with God because you messed up. You fail with God when you stop trying. What does that mean? That means stick with Jesus. See, sometimes we look at failure as the end. That's it. We're done. We failed. And you know what? There were some times in the 6 years that Pastor Jessica and I have been doing shift that we thought we have failed. We are royal failures. Nobody's showing up. Nobody wants to hear what we have to say. Nobody likes us. We're not cute. We're not cool. We're not any of that stuff. We're a couple of dorky white people in the middle of San Bernardino trying to do something for Jesus, and we felt like failures. But you know what? We stuck with Jesus. We didn't do it in our power. We decided we were going to do it in His power. We didn't trust ourselves or how cool we were, how smart we were, how great we are, how pretty she is. Any of that kind of stuff. We don't trust any of that stuff. We just stick with Jesus and His grace. And that's what makes everything in life work. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. I want to end with this, and then we have some discussion time. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. Says this. Very familiar verse, but get this in your heart tonight. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. A lot of times people don't know what to do. Something bad happened. They failed. Somebody failed. Their pocketbook failed. Money failed. School failed. Friends failed. Nothing's going right. I don't know what's taking place. God, I don't know what's going on. And they don't know what to do, and they go to their friends, they go to their family, they go to the arcade, they go to the clubs, they go to the bars, they go everywhere except the throne of grace. And yet God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We sang it tonight. I know that you will never leave me in my weakness. Listen, God knows your number. God's got your cell phone. God's got your Twitter account. God knows your Facebook address. God knows all that. And yet you don't have to use any of those avenues to get to Him. All you've got to do is enter into the throne room. It's as easy as turning to your shoulder and saying, Jesus, because He's right there with you. He's never leaving you. He's never forsaking you. You are seated with Him in heavenly places. You're with Him all the time, and He's with you all the time. You're in Him, and He's in you. And therefore, when something happens, stick with Jesus. Run to the throne room. Get in prayer. Go to God before you go anywhere else. It's okay to have wise counsel. The Bible speaks about that. But stick with Jesus. Now, we got some discussion time right now. And I want you at your tables to discuss a couple of things. Number one, what tests are you in right now? Right now. Just open up with the people at your table. Right now, I'm dealing with this, okay? But don't just stay there because that could get negative. And we're not speaking negativity. We're not speaking doubt. We're not speaking unbelief. Here's the second question. How will grace help? Now, normally we go around the table and we do question number one for everybody. What sort of thing are you involved in? And it almost, with a question like this, could get more and more depressing as we go around the table, okay? And because some people, I don't know about you, but I've been in some small groups where some people just have to top the other person. Oh, that's the crap you're in? Let me tell you about the crap that I'm in, you know? You thought you had it bad, man, you know? Almost to the point where they're like, you know, let me show you my scar here, you know? It's pussing and festering, and there's splinters in it. You know, it's like, gosh, man, put that away. So I want you not to do everybody go around the table for question one and everybody go around the table. No, question one and two, question one and two, question one and two, question one and two. Because the second question is, how will grace help? That's where you start to speak faith. That's where you speak the word. That's where, you know, maybe at your table you'll get so excited about what grace can do that you just, bam, you enter into the throne room of grace right then and there. Just go to prayer right then and there. So if you're at your table by yourself or something like that, jump on a table with some other people, okay? Move around, talk to each other. What test are you in right now, and how will grace help? I'll let you know when we're all done.